Hello, I'm Dirk Develing from the Netherlands, and this workshop is about DBS, Discovery Bible Study. I will first explain some about the principles behind it, and then we're going to experience it, because this is something you need to experience to get it. Let me first pray. Lord, thank you for this group of people. Thank you that you will meet us in this meeting and that you will come close to us. Thank you that you are faithful when we expect you and we study your word. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence and that you will speak to our heart. Thank you that you know all of our situations and what we need and that you will encourage us. Amen. So, but first, I will give you a warning, because DBS is not the next new thing. It's not the solution. It's not nothing special. So some people like to look, oh, there's a new church hype. Oh, we do a purpose-driven church, or we do this method. And this is something different. This is just a framework, a very simple framework to grow in your personal life with the Lord, to make disciples, bring the gospel to people, to train leaders. But there's nothing special in the system, because if Jesus is not in it and if the Holy Spirit is not working, it's just something empty. But it's a process. It's a simple process. And I like simple. And I like simple because simple is reproducible. If I... Rembrandt, the painter? If I had a painting from him and I asked you to copy that, I think, me included, we don't have an A. But if I make a very simple puppet like this, and I ask you, who can copy this? Who can copy this? Yeah, everybody. And that's how DBS is. It's so simple that it almost feels a bit stupid. I was introduced by it by Merle Schenck, I think 10, 11 years ago. I was sitting in a dormitorium in Nairobi, in Kenya, and we were talking with Charlie Klein and some others about how to make disciples, how to lead small groups, and he said, we use DBS. And he explained it to me, and I said, well, I don't know that will work in the Netherlands, because it feels a bit childish. And I think this is quite childish. Do you agree? Yeah. Quite childish. But let me explain some principles behind it, and then we will just do it. And at the end, you will experience it. And So, a couple of principles. I will not explain all the principles, but one of the principles, and I think I need to put my microphone a bit close for the recording. One of the principles is application. Most of the church meetings, you will sit in, you will listen, and you will go home. Mm-hmm. And there is no form of application. Application is up to you. But in a discovery Bible study, focus is application. Because the Bible said if you only hear the word and not do the word, you are like a man built his house on the sand. So if we want our own life to be strong, and the lives in the people in our church and the new believers, that we need to learn them how to apply. That's also what Jesus said in Matthew 28. It's not teach them everything I commanded you. It's not there. Teach them to apply or teach them to obey. So one of the principles is application. Connected to that is accountability, something like that. Because I can say, okay, I will apply it, what I've learned this week, I will apply it in this way. But if nobody ever asks me about it, there's a really big chance that I will not do anything with it. I forget it. But if I know that next week people will ask me about it, then I will put it in my calendar. And I'm thinking in the middle of the week, oh, we will meet on Thursday. I have to still have to do that. So there's healthy, loving accountability in DBS. Another principle is the Word of God. The Word of God is powerful enough to change lives. I met a guy in South Africa. His testimony was very simple. He said, I came to Jesus by a stolen Bible. So the Word itself, the Bible itself, is powerful enough to change people. And sometimes as preachers and leaders, we want to explain the Bible. And there's of course the gift of teaching. But sometimes we have to believe and trust the Holy Spirit and the Word of God that it will be enough to change people. Mm-hmm. Another principle I like to cover is, and it's connected with that, is discovery. When I came to Christ, I was full of Him and I was enthusiastic. And I started preaching, and not on the stage, but preaching to my friends. And I tried to convince them. And at the end, I was a bit surprised because they didn't get it. They didn't do what I said. And later on, I found out that if people discover things themselves, they own it. I went with my father to England for a training, and it was the first time my father did the DBS. And we did a study on 2 Corinthians 5. And my father recognized, because of the questions, hey, I'm an ambassador of Christ. And he was in his 60s, he never was aware of, I'm an ambassador of Christ. And that day, we went door by door, and he led someone to Christ, the first time in his life. Because he was aware, I'm an ambassador. So nobody taught him, he discovered. Much more to say, this book, you can buy $5 at the bookshop. You can read it in 30 minutes. And I wrote it because DBS already exists 20, 30 years. Nobody owns it. So it's developed in Asia and developed more and used a lot. And millions, and it's difficult to make an exact number, but millions of people weekly use this. Not this book, but the DBS principles. So, and there is no book about it, so that was why I wrote a book about it, so everybody has one book for the resources and they have everything together. Let's take, before we start, questions for now, because we're going to just do it, but general questions for now. No? Okay, then I'd like you to make groups of four. Well, yeah, Tim, great.
In what context do you apply this in the Netherlands? Is this the sole part of your gatherings, or is this a part, is there other types of gatherings you're doing? Maybe you want to answer that.
No, I like the question. Very important. In the West, in Asia, in Africa, they will use it daily or every week. But what we have seen in the Netherlands is that if we do this weekly, every week, people get a bit bored. But I think we use it once or twice a month. So if you apply it, you have to be a bit creative with it. Because if you do it every week, it can be a bit boring in the West. Because we are sometimes a bit too creative, and even we are very used to be, let's say, a consume or in a way, or be entertained. That's the word, yeah, entertained. I think that's even an issue in the church. So if people got bored, you can ask, okay, why do you get bored? Maybe you don't apply, because if you apply the Bible, it's exciting. It's not boring. But good question. Yeah.
Can you give an example of how you would teach the application side, or examples of applications that you've used?
Yeah, I think you will discover in a minute.
Does it work for every age group?
Yeah. 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 I think I did it with my children a lot. And you can, and it just, there's no right system, so you can just take parts of it. Because when we have dinner together with the family, I can't spend 45 minutes on a DBS. But we can read scripture and ask questions about it. So, but it works. I teach this in Pakistan. And people, young people, children get it. They understand it. Because it's simple. It's very, very simple. Yeah. So it's a set of questions. It's 14 questions. And I will... So first let's make groups of four. Will that work? I think maybe there will be a group of five. But yeah, and it will be great if you're a bit in a circle or a bit close to each other. Okay. So I have DBS is just a set of questions. And you go through the questions. And I want one person of you to lead the group. And just go to the questions. And one rule of the game is that if you answer the questions, don't reference to other verses in the Bible. Don't reference to other preachers or YouTube or what you heard, but just stick to this verse we use. So is that clear? Because otherwise you get, I heard someone preach about blah, blah, blah. You would just focus on the current text, and that will be Luke 8, 28 to 34. But you will we'll pick that later. So there are two questions I striked through. Is that English? Yeah. Strike through? Because we didn't have a last meeting, so there's no accountability now. Because last meeting, there was no meeting. And you didn't set goals. No. Any questions? I will first give... You can fight. Maybe the one with the smallest feet can lead the group.
Or the one who's holding it.
Time for questions. So, my first question to you is, who has the idea that God spoke to your heart? Okay, there's only one, two, three. Okay, who had the idea that God spoke to his heart through the passage? Yes. Good, good, good. So, and who is encouraged? And who has a goal for next week, something to do? Great. Okay. Then I'm blessed. Thank you. So time for questions. I had already some questions.
We're just finding that Lee knows about an app that has Discovery Bible Study.
Yeah, there are apps, yeah.
It's in here too. In the book too. Right?
Yeah. And there are a lot of versions. So I encourage you, if you do this with a group, stick to the process for 8 weeks. And then start adapting what's necessary. Because you have to go into the flow and then look what's happening with people. Because people, if they're in the church world for a while, they have to get used to not, quote Danny Silk, don't preach. And help people to make the application smart. So smart, specific, measurable, actionable, and what's the smart, relevant, and
timely.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you make it very specific, because people, some people say, "Oh, my action will. I will think about it." They will forget. Two purposes. First of all, for yourself, because if you maybe you already experienced, but if you have to retell it, it's in your heart and in your mind. So it's much more powerful than only if you hear it. So that's first for yourself. Second is to have stories in your mind you can share with others. Because maybe the story from today is not for the person you meet tomorrow. But maybe in 4 weeks' time, you have this story still in your mind and you can use it. So you are equipped with stories from the Bible that are powerful. In my book, I also wrote that I was sharing with a Muslim. I didn't know he was Muslim. I shared a story and I asked, okay, how can you apply, and asked all these questions. And the day after I spoke him, he said, we don't have these stories in Islam. I said, I shared it with my nephew and we both are touched by it. And what my application is that I forgave my wife because she did this and that. And we are now together again. A Muslim, not accepted Jesus yet, but it was a story about Jesus.
Does everybody go through and retell the story?
Yeah. So if you have a big group of 10 people, you better split up in two smaller groups. Otherwise, it takes very long. But there's so much power in retelling, because if you need to retell, you have to listen totally different. You're going to study. You're going to see things.
So when you're like evangelizing to people, you like read them the story and then you ask them these questions, or is this just in your small group?
In your small group. So, but if you meet someone, you don't have your Bible with you, but you, oh, yesterday I read a story in the Bible, or I read a story about Jesus, and you can share it. But then you share it from your mind in your own words, and not let's read the Bible. Yeah, exactly. It's your story, the story you heard. I already shared with a friend of me. He was bringing his children to school and was meeting another mother and start talking about, and she start talking of complaining about church. And then he just said, can I share your story? And then he shared the story of the, how we call this one, the superstar father. Superstar father. And I ask a question, what do you learn about Jesus? Or what do you learn about God? And then he just finished. It was just 2-3 minutes, the conversation. He said, do you want to learn more about Jesus? He said, yes. Okay, when do you have time? Oh, yeah, then and then. And do you have other people who are interested in learning more about Jesus? Yeah, I have a friend. So they gathered, not in his house, but in her house. And a church was started. So simple. Other questions?
So when you're going through the questions and you start going through the questions, how do you stay on track and not go down the rabbit trail?
Yeah, I think that's a bit of leadership. I think you need to be a bit bold and next question. Or let's stick to the question. Or... is this your answer to this question? Yeah. Or maybe we can discuss it later after the meeting. But so what do you learn about Jesus? Oh yeah. Help people. But you help people. You're leading. You help people to focus. What do I learn about Jesus? Not about who I met yesterday and blah blah blah. And because they need to answer the question, they start to think in a specific way. And in the New Testament, you can see that Jesus' teachings or preaching were about 30. But what do you think? How many questions did Jesus ask in the New Testament? About 300. So Jesus' teaching way was questions. So people start thinking. And he sometimes didn't give the answer. And he gave the answer to his disciples. So it's also attraction in a way. So because of the questions, people start thinking. It was Jesus said, he dropped something and then he walked the other way. And he was looking, okay, who is following me? He was not so, come. He was not entertaining them.
The question, but with our small group at Christmas time, we decided to play a game about the Christmas story.
And so we wrote down like all the characters in the Christmas story, and they each picked a piece of paper and had to tell the Christmas story through the eyes of that character. So it was interesting because the ones that were left in the basket were Mary and Joseph. But somebody got Jesus, and they're like, how do I tell, like, what did the Christmas story look like as Jesus, as the baby, or as an angel? And so sometimes it's stepping away from these stories and choosing just one character and saying, what does the story look like from that perspective instead of the whole story?
Yeah, great, huh? I like it, huh?
Person being healed, you know, what did it feel like for me?
Huh?
To be called up to the front, to be healed, and yeah.
Yeah. Great, I like that, yeah.
As a pastor, we're more comfortable with scripture, which was one of our problems. We kept wanting to get off of the text. But do you have stories of people in your church that, you know, maybe know little or not much about Jesus that have been able to use this in connecting with people?
Yeah. So if you look at the movement in Sofia, in the west of Bulgaria, everything happening by Discovery Bible Studies. So they go into a new village, they do prayer walks, and another prayer walk, and another prayer walk, and then they meet someone, and they will start a Discovery Bible Study in their house, and people coming to Christ. Slowly, but it's happening. And at the moment, it's growing that fast, because a lot of everybody is starting. Everybody in the church is starting Discovery Bible Studies with their friends. So there are at the moment 30 or 40 groups. It's amazing, yeah.
So when you release people to do a Discovery Bible Study, when they get saved, before they get saved, when?
Yeah, you heard the story.
Right?
Yeah, and even some people do Discovery Bible Study before they are saved. So I heard stories from South Africa that a guy who was felt like, this is what I need to do. I started a church at home, but he was not repented yet. But there was something in his spirit that said, well, this is good. And he started to, and people were coming to Christ before he came to Christ. Yeah, I think we have to rethink and change our mind in that. Because this is not the only story that Jesus directly sent someone out. It's so quick. We sometimes need to trust the Holy Spirit in the other. We can trust the Holy Spirit in us, that he can guide us. But can he guide the other? Do we believe that? Do we trust the Holy Spirit in someone else?
One of the things we came up with was in the story was Jesus said to the healed man, stay. But he said to his disciples, follow me.
Yeah.
You know, and then the guy wanted to follow Jesus, and he said, no, stay. And what's right for the disciples wasn't right for that man. But, you know, but the man was obedient, and the fruit of it was that his whole village came to know.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Great. We need to round up. I'm open for more questions and discussion, but I think maybe people need room, so.
Or
yeah, quick question, last one.
How do you come up with the scriptures?
You can just find them yourself, and
story.
In my book I have six sets with different purposes, different target audiences. Okay. There's a list for people who are far from God, who are just wandering. There is more for disciples. If somebody comes to Christ, it's good to do the seven commands of Christ, because Matthew 28 said that you have to teach them everything he commanded. If you summarize it, it will be seven, six, or eight commands. But first, teach that for a new believer. And also for mature believers, to even to make disciples. So there are six, seven lists in it. And if you search online, you will find even more. But of course, you can just pick every story. No, not every story. It's well, at the end, the word of God is the word of God. So.
Right.
You're welcome.